Blog Talk Radio.
Cue the loop, though. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that time. It's Community Conversations with Brother George in AAEA, the best way. It's Uncovering Lessons from Our Past with Brother George. Part 14 of What Slavery Did to Us. Let's get this thing started right now. Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah. There's no better love than love for self and kind. It's the NAA Community Conversations with Brother George. Again, it's part 14 of What Slavery Did to Us. We're talking about uncovering lessons from the past. But first, it's always the NAAEA, people. It's about ensuring the needs of the African-American community are met through the development of programs and services. And do what we're doing now, educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our community to become the best that we can be. It is through brothers like Brother George that come, sit, read, learn, strategize, and then lay it down for you so you can learn about our history and then you can teach this to your children. All of it's factual, all of it's straight, all of it's tight, and guess what? All of it's right. All right, so let's welcome in Brother George. Brother George, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Well, I thank you, brother. Thank you for the invitation. I thank you for allowing me to do what I do, or say like we say, do I do my thing? And I really appreciate it, brother.
All right. Well, let's get started, as always, with our Willie Lynch segment. What you got for us today, brother?
Well, I'm going to speak again out of Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch by Alvin Mora. And this is on the chapter called Slave in the Making. Let's ask ourselves the question, what makes a person a slave? A slave is a person under the manipulation or physical confines of another, brought about by brutal force or carefully skilled trickery or deceit. We as a people have already developed a common definition describing the 400 years of forced labor, but many of us have not carefully deciphered the code of the modern slave-making methods of white corporate slaveholders. In a nutshell, a modern slave can easily be defined as a person that carries in his or her mind the old ideas, plans, and will of the old traditional slave maker, even though they are no longer physically detained. Normally, this discussion would have already ended, but due to the continued effective nature of Willie Lynch's letter, we must carry on. In other words, we have to start understanding what mental slavery is for real, because many of our people are still trapped in mental slavery. He's talking about even on the corporate level. You got some of us that's trapped into mental slavery. We're still doing things against the best interests of our people. Like, we have a black judge on the Supreme Court. And, I mean, how do you have a black man that's on the Supreme Court, but he ain't for black people? We done did all this hard work in this country to try to free ourselves from slavery, and we got a black man on the Supreme Court that ain't even for black people, don't do nothing for black people at all. So that's my Willie Lynch segment, something to give you, you know, some food for thought and to deteriorate that Willie Lynch chip that's in your head. Peace.
Go ahead, Brother George. Lay it down. So let's, as a people, learn to understand the impact of mental slavery. And then let's do something about it by thinking for ourselves and doing those things that allow us to become the best people that we can be. Now, let's transition. We're going to go back a little bit, and we're going to pick up what we did on 13, and we're going to start today with a little bit more on the minister, Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Well, brother, I thank you for allowing me to do this again because, you know, I really, you know, even though I'm a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the direction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I really know what the minister did, you know, for us as a people during the 1980s and 90s. And what he gave up is what I think a lot of the people really don't understand. You know, the minister was a singer, he was an entertainer, and he also was an accomplished violinist. And some know that he was a violinist, but the violin is the most complicated instrument to play in the world. And so this man gave up playing, and he knows how to play the violin. It's not like he just got one, you know, and he learned how to play it. No, he could play on a professional level the violin. Now, in October 1994, Minister Louis Farrakhan led 2,000 blacks from America to Accra, Ghana, for the Nation of Islam's first International Saviors Day. Ghanaian President Jerry Rawlings officially opened and closed the five-day convention, meaning that he took the nation's Saviors Day celebration back to the continent, to Africa, to Ghana, where we came from. And over there, they were able to celebrate with us and share a day of importance to us. And the minister made that happen. You know, I wanted to read something that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about the minister back in 1972. I don't like to criticize anyone because this is not what we are after today. We don't want to criticize each other. We can't get together and I'm sorry.
Take your time, brother.
Yes, sir.
In the meantime, we'll talk about the NAAEA empowerment, and that is the network of affiliates around the country. So far, the network is growing. Become a member of the NAAEA by doing one thing, doing something in your community. Register, if you would. And you don't even have to become an active member. All you have to do is go out and do something positive in your community. It's about African-American empowerment. The only way that's going to get done is if we do the work. And that work has to come from us. So we're not begging anyone anymore to say, hey, take care of us. Hey, help us do anything. All we're going to do is do that work every day of being consistent and working diligently at educating our kids. Looking at the peace concept, and that concept begins with having a political agenda and a political strategy, an economic agenda and an economic strategy, culture, education, and then health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition under the pillar of athletics. You have to take care of yourself and your body and your mind. It's a mental, spiritual, physical, and emotional empowerment. It's your development, and it starts with you understanding how important the peace concept is. Again, we're talking about politics, right? Mental politics. You got to understand the system for what we're doing here. All right, Brother George, back to you.
Well, I couldn't find the quote that I wanted to find, but we can move on. And, you know, I just have a great deal of respect for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so I couldn't find the quote, but maybe on the next show, I'll find it and I'll give it up. You know, but for right now, I want to speak on Tariq Nasheed. Now, Tariq Nasheed is the brother that, well, he's a multi-talented brother, but he's most well noted for creating the Hidden Colors series. And he put that series together, and it's actually, it could be six by now, but in 2019, it was five. And those series tell a great deal about the history of our people, going back to the Moorish Empire, talking about ancient Egypt. And he has a lot of different qualified scholars that speak on Hidden Colors. And, you know, now the thing about Nasheed is that Nasheed is a multi-talented brother that came from the streets, and he was a hustler. And he, you know, I don't know what it was that turned him, you know, to where he wanted to start studying our history and finding out the things that our people had accomplished, but he did. But I mean, Nasheed was a rapper, and he was with the group called the Ghetto Dynasty. And he also is an R&B singer, and he's with the group called Mink Slide. And, you know, I mean, he's just done some amazing things, you know, and he's also a motivational speaker. You know, he has a motivational tape that's called Race, Relationships, and Riches. And it's an amazing DVD where he's talking to a group of people of all ages. And he's just talking, you know, motivational talk, like how you are successful in life and how you can be successful in your relationships. And he was just an amazing brother, and I couldn't not mention him, even though, you know, I know that some people might know of him, you know, being on the radio show and he said some controversial things and all of that. I don't necessarily look at what a person has done when they're at their worst. I try to give people credit for when they're at their best, you know. And so Tariq Nasheed, you know, he should be given praise, you know, for what he has done for our people, especially with the Hidden Colors series.
All right, go do yourself a favor. Pick up. You can go out on YouTube. All right, if you can't purchase it, go out and check out the Hidden Colors series. It's a good educational DVDs, and you should inspire your children. Our young people need to really hear it. It's a great wealth of information, and like Brother George said, they're scholars, so it's the real deal. Hidden Colors, you won't want to miss it. All right, you're listening to NAA Community Conversations with Brother George. It's part 14 of What Slavery Did to Us. And we're really talking about uncovering the lessons from the past. And so, again, Hidden Colors would be one of those. Let's move on now to Dr. Ali Muhammad, a modern multi-genius.
Now, I ran into listening to Dr. Ali Muhammad when he was on, I would see him on YouTube. And so, you know, I gravitated towards the brother because he too is a follower of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so I was listening to what he was saying. He was talking about nationalism and building a separate society and different things of that nature. And so I first wanted to talk about the Aboriginal Republic of North America, the Confederation called ARNA. He established that along with, he's the founder, you know, along with other brothers, you know, young brothers, because this brother's like in his 40s. And he also created an institution called the Aboriginal Medical Association. And he forced, you know, the medical field in this country to accept that as a legitimate form of medicine. And so he, you know, is a doctor in that, and he's very good. at what he does. Now, the interesting thing about Dr. Ali Muhammad that I said to call him a multi-genius is the brother has written books on many different topics. He has written books on cosmetology. You know, he don't call it astrology. He calls it cosmetology. That's the actual term. He wrote a book on the lost Aboriginal heritage of African American people. So he wrote a book on our presence here in America. What? Black man already in America? Well, he writes about it and he proves that we were already here. That's the interesting thing. Then he wrote a book on Islam. And he pointed out something in one of his DVDs that I've seen where he learned how to read the hieroglyphics. And in the hieroglyphic writings was the name Muhammad. And he found it in the hieroglyphics because he was saying that the name Muhammad in Islam goes further back than Prophet Muhammad. So now that's, and when you prove stuff, you know, when you show it written in the hieroglyphics, then it had to be before Prophet Muhammad's time. But actually, he was doing it because many of the brothers in the nation, including Dr. Wesley Muhammad, that wrote a book called Black Arabia, were trying to prove that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that Islam is the black man's religion. The brothers were just going out trying to prove that that was the truth. Now, Dr. Ali Muhammad also wrote a book called The Aboriginal, the Moor, and the African. And so what he's doing is he's merging the three names that we go by and puts forth proof that we were a dual continent people, that we lived on both continents. So I just found that very interesting that this young brother could be so masterful in medicine, masterful in knowing the religion that he practices, mastering our people. So I had to call him a multi-genius.
Go out and do both your research and your homework. It's all there, people. Check it out for yourself. Dr. Ali Muhammad. Remember that name. All right, go back and check out segments 1 through 13 on this series, What Slavery Did to Us, featuring Brother George. And check out my favorite, The Desperate Need for Blacks to Learn Political Language. Brother did a great job with that. So we're moving on now. We're talking about Dr. Umar Johnson, the true struggler.
Well, I called Dr. Umar the true struggler because he went through a lot, you know, to get to the point that he's at now. But I'm going to talk a little bit about his credentials, you know, before I talk about his struggle. Dr. Umar Johnson is a doctor of clinical psychology and certified school psychologist who is considered an expert on mental health of African American children. Dr. Umar is founder and lead tour guide for the Unapologetically African Black College Consciousness Tour from 11 through 17 boys and girls, which exposes them to the great historical black college tradition within the context of visiting and learning about the process and personalities that helped shape the global African struggle for freedom and independence. This tour is held annually 2 weeks in July. Now, the brother put together a tour to take our young people to see what the black universities had to offer. We can make our black universities better. We could do a lot to improve our black universities. We just have to get focused on doing for self. Now, Dr. Umar Johnson authored the book called The Psycho Academic Holocaust, the Special Education and ADHD Wars Against Black Boys. In other words, he was out there and he was trying to let black parents know it's nothing wrong with our children. Just because your child doesn't want to learn something and we get behind in our lessons, that doesn't make us ADHD. It just means that what they're teaching, we're not interested in, and we don't have no desire to want to participate in class. That doesn't mean that you're ADHD. And so Dr. Johnson was proving that. As a matter of fact, he proved more often than not that our children had superior thinking ability, the ones that they were saying was ADHD. He was proving that, no, this kid is above average. So you need to support Dr. Umar Johnson. I know that Dr. Umar Johnson is currently working on building his new school, the Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey Academy, International Academy for Boys, America's first residential academy for black boys, founded upon the principles of Pan-Africanism and economics. He also has future plans to build a school for the girls, for our black girls. And so now, when a brother, he's been struggling to get that done because we won't give him the resources to open his academy, but he eventually secured the resources and he's in the process of opening that school. I don't know if the school is already open. Based on this information that's right here, the school may already be open, but I do know that he purchased the buildings, and that because he was trying to purchase St. Paul's College, which is in Lawrenceville, Virginia. And I was planning on trying to go down there and do whatever I could to assist him when he was in Lawrenceville, but he ended up getting it somewhere further south. And, you know, I was just happy to see that he accomplished that. But, I mean, he has a wealth of knowledge, and he's really there to defend our kids in court and everything. And Dr. Umar Johnson is another one of those brothers that should be praised for his work. And he's a part of the Hidden Colors series. He's in the first one, the first Hidden Colors. He's there talking on education. And so I just wanted to, you know, give my take on Dr. Umar Johnson.
The brother is trying. Let's support our people who are trying to support our people, right? I think we have to get away from what we listen to from other people and go to more credible sources about our people. Let's do the work of doing our homework and our research on our people who are really putting their lives out front and investing in our people, right? Let's begin to do the work. All right, you're listening to Community Conversations, Part 14 of What Slavery Did to Us. We're covering lessons from the past. Join us each Saturday for Empowerment Saturday. It's a conversation by us, for us. It's a candid conversation, but guess what? It's a safe space for you to talk back, converse, listen, look, and discuss what it is that we need to do to make ourselves better. Join us 2 p.m. each Saturday for Empowerment Saturday. All right, Brother George, back to you.
Okay, brother. The next brother that we have is Kaba Hiawatha Khomeini. Many of you might know him as Booker T. Coleman, Booker Taliaferro Coleman Jr. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about his credentials first before I talk about him. Kaba Hiawatha Khomeini was born with the name Booker Taliaferro Coleman Jr. at New York Hospital on November 16, 1953. He is a teacher, consultant, administrator, staff developer, and curriculum writer. Now, that's really important right there. okay? Presently, Brother Cabo retired from the New York Department of Education in July 2009 and is a consultant to academic institutions, education, educators, parents, and community members interested in teaching and learning. Now, the reason why I said curriculum writer is important is because when you write the curriculum, you know, you choose what it is that you think will be most beneficial for the students to learn that you're writing the curriculum for. And the kind of, and the type of teacher that Cabo Kwamene is, I know what his curriculum would look like. As a matter of fact, I know because he did a DVD called How to Educate Black Youth. And he put in that DVD all of the techniques, the learning techniques that he would use in educating our youth. He also did a DVD called Mankind. And that's when I learned, you know, the six developmental stages of human beings and what each one of them did, what their names were, and all of that. And I thought that that was one of the most fascinating lectures that I had ever heard in my life. When I heard that from, that was the first time I was introduced to Booker T. Coleman, Dr. Booker T. Coleman. And it's a fascinating lecture called Mankind by Booker T. Coleman. And then he does a lecture on the Chewbacca stone. The Chewbacca stone is a stone that tells the story of creation. Now, Chewbacca was one of the ancient pharaohs. And so he did research into where we came from as human beings. And Booker T. Coleman, he and Dr. Yibo, who I'm going to talk about later, did a lecture on the creation story, you know, through the Chewbacca stone story. And I just thought that that was fascinating. Now, what he's done is, back in 2001, he implemented a lifelong goal of developing an African-centered science academy named Per-Unc, the temple, which means the temple or house of life. Cabo Hiawatha functions as the academy's principal facilitator and chief executive officer. The Per-Unc is an online program with www.townzonetv.com. www.townzonetv.com. And I have very high regard for Cabo Kwamene.
Our great educator, Dr. Cabo Kwamene, formerly Brother Booker T. Coleman. He's one of our best. Check him out. Do his research. If you want to do anything, cruise on out to YouTube and just put these names in and just start listening and see what you come up with. Brother George, let's slide on over to Gabriel Obayo, the master mathematician or genius.
Dr. Iyibo. Dr. Gabriel Iyibo, called the Black Einstein and the creator of GAGA, which stands for God Almighty Grand Unified Theorem, which is called the theory of everything, is the man who solved Einstein's theory of relativity. Dr. Gabriel Iyibo has still not been given the Nobel Prize of Physics or Mathematics by the Nobel Committee, although he has been nominated for the prize in 2002, 2003, and 2004, has sadly still not won the Nobel Prize. Now, this brother solved what Einstein was trying to do. He never did it. He was trying to do it. And Dr. Yibo solved his theorem because Dr. Yibo said that our people was teaching on this back in ancient times. So all he did was just apply himself. The God Almighty Grand Unified Theorem. Look that up. That's Dr. Yibo. And guess what? Dr. Yibo, he got challenged by some other Nigerian scientists that asked him to prove, you know, that his theorem was correct. And Dr. Yibo told them, I don't have to prove anything. You prove that it's not right. You prove that I'm wrong. I don't have to prove I'm right. I already went through the theorem. You see the theorem. He said, I don't have to prove nothing. Y'all prove, y'all go through and do all what you want to do and prove that it's wrong. He said, ain't nobody been able to prove that I'm wrong yet. You know, but we have some great people that walk amongst us, and our children are not even taught anything about these people. These are our giants. This guy, in mathematical language, in the mathematical world, he is at the top of the pyramid now. He did what the most famous mathematician in European history could not do. Gabriel Ayibo did it, and he did it through God Almighty Grand Unified Theorem. And I tell you something that's interesting about that. He didn't always call it God Almighty. He first called it the Grand Unified Theorem, but then he wanted to praise his God for giving him that information. And so he said this could have only came from God, and that's when he called it the God Almighty Grand Unified Theorem.
You can't beat that. Do your research. Our people got it. You got to know what's in you. All you got to do is apply yourself. The God is in you. The power is in you. The energy is in you. The mastery of any strategy, any philosophy, any category. It's us. It goes all the way back to the beginning. Brother George, let's talk about Michelle Alexander, the new Jim Crow.
Okay, let's talk about Michelle. Michelle Alexander is a highly acclaimed civil rights lawyer, advocate, legal scholar, and author of The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. The best-selling book that helped to transform the national debate on racial and criminal justice in the United States. Since The New Jim Crow was first published in 2010, it has spent nearly 250 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. That's like 5 years on the bestseller list, and has been cited in judicial decisions and adopted in campus-wide and community-wide readings, and has inspired a generation of racial justice advocates, activists motivated by Alexander's unforgettable argument that we have not ended racial caste in America. We have merely redesigned it. Over years, Alexander has taught at a number of universities, including Stanford Law, where she was an associate professor of law and directed the Civil Rights Clinic. Now, Michelle Alexander is an interesting sister. If you ever get a chance, you know, I mean, most of these people you can listen to look at and listen to on YouTube. And Michelle Alexander, she was one of those, you know, sisters that was like, oh, you know, they just lying to me, you know, because she was a civil rights lawyer. So that means that she was dealing with civil rights cases where the brothers were claiming that they was being discriminated against and that drugs was being planted on them and different things of this nature, which a lot of people don't want to believe actually happens. And so she was one of them that was like, oh, that's not happening. You just, you know, so she was putting together a coalition to challenge. Eventually she wanted to challenge whether or not this was actually happening. And she runs into a young brother that, I mean, this brother was sharp. He was a young brother that he had a lot of documented stuff that he had wrote down, the officers' names, their badge numbers, what they did to the different people in the community, what they did to him. And he came and presented all this information to her. And so she was like, well, this is great. You know, this is great. And so, but the brother mentioned in the conversation that he was a felon. And right then, you know, she just, oh, no, you said you was a felon? No, you can't possibly be, I can't use this. You know, they never believe you because you was a felon. But lo and behold, it took about 2 years, but the exact same people when their scam came through, was exposed, the exact same names that brother had written down and the exact same people and all the things that he talks about they were doing, the investigation proved that that's what they were doing. And that's what changed Michelle Alexander. And at that point, it changed her career course. You know, she went from being a civil rights lawyer to more of a political activist. And she went on the offensive for a lot of our incarcerated youth, male and female. And so she's one of those that's spearheading, you know, when our people get out of prison and they can't get anywhere to live, they just try to make it so once you get a felony or go to prison, that your life, you can't do nothing. They don't want you to get a job when you get out, no matter how good you was, doesn't matter. But she's one of those that's at the forefront in that fight. And so you can give your sister, Michelle Alexander, praise because she turned herself around and she is in the forefront of that fight now. And I respect her to the utmost for doing that. Sister Michelle Alexander.
Check out the new Jim Crow. Brother's right. And it's accurate. All right. Know the system. Know what they're doing. Learn the pillars: politics, economics, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. It would do your body good, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Brother George, let's go on over now to Dr. Ray Higgins, the African Center preacher man.
Now, Dr. Ray Higgins is a story too. Excuse me, I'm going to read a little bit about him. The mission of the African Village, because that's what he's Reverend Dr. Ray Higgins, really, and he's the head minister of the African Village that's in St. Louis, Missouri. And the mission of the African Village Cultural Center Fellowship is to be an African-centered, sculpture-based ministry of excellence whose purpose is to evangelize, edify, and equip its members through the knowledge of the truth to serve the community and reach the world with the message of liberation while striving to be compassionate in our love, excellence, and our service, holy in our living and reverently spirited in our worship. Dr. Ray Higgins is the international chief elder and spiritual teacher of the African Village. He is also a clinician, a therapist, a musician, and a pilot. Dr. Higgins has attended and completed studies in various academic institutions such as Montclair State University, Northeastern Bible College, Lighthouse Christian College, and Trinity Technologies Theological Seminary, and holds a PhD and a CCD in counseling with an emphasis on cognitive psychology. Now, Dr. Higgins is also like a relationships doctor. He teaches on relationships, and he and Sister Shahrazad Ali did a lecture series on relationships, and she spoke from the female point of view, and he spoke from the male's point of view, and that DVD is like gold. You know, it tells you a lot about how relationships work. But now, Dr. Ray Higgins was, I'm going to take you a little bit through his history. He was deeply into accepting, you know, Christianity at face value, you know, which, you know, if that's what a person wants to do, then that's fine. So he one day ran into a brother that was talking about ancient Kemet, and that Mary and Jesus had come from two symbols called Isis and Horus. And so he got very upset because, you know, the brother made the comparison and called him a liar. But the brother, you know, him and the brother got into like a heated exchange, and he never resolved that issue on the spot. But some years later, no more than a couple years later, he was at an old bookstore that sold old, used books. And he ran into a book that told the identical things and actually presented a great deal of proof that made him question, you know, what he had been believing for all those years. And so he even got to the point where he was sitting in his office and he had a loaded 38 caliber. And he went to pull the trigger to kill himself. And the phone rang at the same time that he went to pull the trigger, and the gun went off and the bullet went past his head, and he answered the phone. And he took that as a sign that God was, you know, had a mission for him. So from that point, that's when he started studying, you know, African civilization and African theology. And he started learning a great deal about what it was that our people were practicing. And it completely changed his life. You know, I mean, he goes on regular tours to ancient Egypt, well, to Egypt. And he also teaches on a number of different subjects. And one of them, he teaches on how our youth are handled in the prison system, how our youth are handled on the street. He tries to warn his congregation, the young people that's in his congregation, how to deal with being on the street when the police stop you, not just sending our youth out there not knowing, and then they go and do something that causes a problem for them. And so he tries to teach them within the teachings of the African village how they should behave through examples and all that. If you go and you look at some of Dr. Ray Higgins' lectures and sermons, I mean, you'd be amazed, you know. I mean, he just knows the Bible backwards and forwards. He's, you know, he's just a sharp, dedicated brother for our people. And at one time, he was holding church on Laburnum Avenue right here in Richmond, Virginia. He would come every fifth Sunday And a friend of mine and I would go to that sermon where he would come, and it would be people coming from Baltimore, Maryland, and I mean, they'd be coming from near and far to come and listen to Dr. Ray Higgins do his sermons. But I, and Dr. Ray Higgins is T.D. Jakes' spiritual father. For anyone that knows what that means, you know, I don't know exactly what that translates into, but Dr. Ray Higgins is T.D. Jakes' spiritual father. So that's a little food for thought. But if you get a chance, listen to Dr. Ray Higgins. He also does a great tape called How to Deactivate Your Willie Lynch Chip.
All right, brother. Dr. Ray Higgins, go do your research. Do your homework. You're listening to NAAEA Community Conversations, Part 14 of What Slavery Did to Us, right? Uncovering lessons from the past. And so we're going to now slide on over to Dr. Joy DeGruy, the healer of the people.
Dr. Joy DeGruy, a beautiful sister. Dr. Joy DeGruy holds a Bachelor's of Science degree in Communications, a Master's in Social Work, a master's degree in clinical psychology, and a PhD in social work in social work research. Ms. DeGruy is a nationally and internationally renowned researcher and educator. For over two decades, she served as the assistant professor at Portland State University School of Social Work and now serves as president and chief executive office of Joy DeGruy Publications Incorporated. Now, Dr. Joy DeGruy authored the book entitled Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, America's Legacy of Enduring Injury and Healing. Now, I called Dr. Joy DeGruy, you know, the healer, because she's not just talking about trying to let black people heal from slavery. She's letting white people know, like, you're sick from something too. You see, from all of the dissonance, you know, because she has a chapter in a book called Cognitive Dissonance. And cognitive dissonance is when you have to justify in your mind for the wrongdoing that your people have done in the past. And so it's so hard to accept that you have to think of excuses for why it was legitimate for them to do what they did. And so through that dissonance, you just stay in denial, you know, that things ever happened. And that leads to people being sick, just like with Donald Trump. They try to act like he did a great job as president and all that. They have to say that because the comparison that he's been making himself is with Barack Obama. And he knows that full well, and all of them know, that Barack Obama and Donald Trump are like day and night when you make comparisons of great statesmen. Donald Trump took on an economy that was growing, steadily growing, from Barack Obama and then took credit for it. Barack Obama took over a failing economy from George Bush and then turned it into a thriving economy. And Donald Trump just steadily just self-aggrandized himself and all of that. But that's cognitive dissonance when people run around talking about, oh, he does a great job. He did do a good job on the economy and this, that, and the other. And the man just stands and tells lies every single day. And see, that same thing is equivalent to how they handle slavery and reparations for black people. They don't want to give black people reparations because they act like, well, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a whole lot wrong with us. We just don't want to accept the fact that we have a certain amount of trauma that we have experienced and we don't want to, like, own up to, like, it's something wrong with us. You didn't do it. You know, it's not like you're at blame for what's wrong with you, but once you accept the fact that something is wrong with you, then you can begin to correct it. And see, that's what many of us are experiencing in our day and time, and that's what a lot of these people that I have been speaking to you about through the years, through the 100 or so years, 300-400 years of enslavement, 300 physically and another 100 through other ways that these people have struggled to help us out of that condition by saying, is something wrong with you, black man and woman? And so the sooner you wake up and realize that, hey, I can fix this, though. Once I see that, that's why we act so crazy with this, that, and the other. That's why our young people are killing each other, because they've been conditioned to do that. You see, but we blame ourselves for that. Well, you can after you realize that there's something wrong with you, but before you don't know nothing's wrong with you, you just think you're doing that because it's the natural occurrence. It's a natural thing to do, you know. But Joy DeGruy, with her book, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, and she also developed a scale for respect, a respect scale for our young people. Now, I don't know exactly how that works. She talks about it somewhat in the book, you know, but she realized that our children, that our young, especially our young men, because that's what she did most of her research, was that they were so discouraged with life because of the disrespect level that our people have been experiencing. And our young men really experienced that to a great degree. And we're not understanding that. But through people like Dr. Joy DeGruy, you know, she's a champion for our people. She's a healer. And we need to pay close attention to the things that's coming out of her mouth, and we need to read any future books that she reads, and for God's sake, read Post-Traumatic Slavery Syndrome, America's Legacy of Enduring Injury and Healing. And that's Dr. Joy DeGruy, A Beautiful Sister.
Thank you there, Brother George. People, let's do the work of healing from the mental, physical, and emotional impacts of slavery. Now we'll give you a special treat. We'll be able to give you the quote that Brother George mentioned earlier, and I will turn it back over to Brother George, and we'll close out in just a minute. Brother George.
Well, I wanted to find this quote because I think it was very significant that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying what he said. I want you to remember today, I have one of my greatest teachers here. We have with us today our great national preacher, the preacher who don't mind going into Harlem, New York, one of the worst towns in our nation or cities. He is our brother in Detroit or Chicago or New York. I want you to remember, every week he's on the air helping me reach those people that I can't get out of my house. You too should go and reach them like him. I want you to pay good attention to his preaching. His preaching is a bearer of witness to me and what God has given me. This is one of the strongest national preachers that I have in the bounds of North America. Everywhere you hear him, listen to him. Everywhere you see him, look at him. Everywhere he advises you to go, go. Everywhere he advises you to stay from, stay from. So we are thankful to Allah for this great helper of mine, Minister Farrakhan. He's not a proud man. He's a very humble man. If he can carry you across the lake without dropping you in, he doesn't say, when I get to the other side, see what I've done. He tells you, see what Allah has done. He doesn't take it upon himself. He's a mighty fine preacher. We hear him every week, and I say, continue to hear our Minister Farrakhan. Unquote.
You're listening to NAA, EA Community Conversations with Brother George, uncovering lessons from the past as it was, and what we have on our hands is the Brother George, who has given us knowledge and wisdom for years. And so he comes every week to educate you. And so I'm saying, whatever this brother tells you to read, read. Whatever this brother tells you to think about, think about it. If that brother tells you to go and read a book, read a book. He has done the research. He is our educational scholar because this is a man who has committed himself and his life to our community and to change. So whatever he says, whatever he reports, whatever he shares with us, whatever he comes with about Willie Lynch or about the Nation of Islam or about any of our greats, because he is laying down the doctors. Right, he is laying down the people who have done the work, and he's done the research. So if this brother say go, go. Listen, learn, and understand. So we have to acknowledge and recognize today our brother George for the work that he's done. Continue to do the work, brother. We love you, appreciate you, and respect you. This has been Community Conversations, Part 14 of what slavery has done to us. And obviously, with this brother being here, says that we have come a long way. So we continue to honor you, Brother George. Continue to do the work of enlightening and empowering our people to be the best that they can be. Join us Saturday for Empowerment Saturday, but also know that even on Saturday, Brother George is bringing the Willie Lynch moment. That is all for now. Thank you for listening, and as always, take care of yourself and each other. Peace and blessings.